the Hemshech on the base. So Daber Nabi Oznei Ha'am, Imidvei Reb Yana Yana Lelashon Bakasha, Amr Lai Kadosh Baruch Hu Moshe, Bivakasha Mimcha Aleich, Amor Lahem Li Yisrael, Bivakasha Mikem, Shalom Mimitzrayim Klei Chesev Uklei Zahav, Shalo Yomar Oso Tzadik, Abraham Avinu, Vavadum Vinu Osam Kiyem Bahem, Vachrei Chen Yitzu Birchosh Gadol, Lo Kiyem Bahem. So Amrlo Vilavai Shenetze Biatzmeidu. What wasn't significant to have the Kesef and the Zav and the Smalos when it came to, you know, Yitzias Mitzrayim? And the Gemara explains Al Yidei Mashal. Mashal Adam Sheyachavu Shevei Sasurim Vayu Omrim Lo Bnei Adam Motzion Oschal Amachar Mibei Sasurim Vinos Nechamamon Harbe. So Omer Lahem Bevakasham Mikem Hotziuni Ayom Ve'eni Mivakesh klum. So, what Chazal are identifying for us is that even though, from the standpoint of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, it was of great importance that Klal Yisrael would go out Birchosh Gadol. And that's the basis of the mitzvah of Ha'anaka, of Eved Ivri, Hanik, Talik, Lo, Bin Sonacha, Migarnacha, Migvecha. That it's really a din of the Halachta Bidracha, that Kadosh Baruch Hu sent us out. And it was part of the sense of integrity, Kaviyachol. Of course, the Kadosh Baruch Hu Chosamo, Shal Kadosh Baruch Hu Emes, not that we had a Chashash, the Kadosh Baruch Hu was involved in Sheker. But that HaKadosh Baruch Hu felt that how can he, as it were, face Avraham Avinu v'avadum v'yinu osam kiyem behem, and maybe even more than that, because kol haben ha'yilod ha'yorot ha'shechu, even though the world sadly has stripped this word of any meaning, but it was actually a genocide, an infanticide. So he couldn't face Avraham Avinu, Vavadum Vinu Osam, Kiyem Bahem, Vachre Chen Yetzu Berchosh Gadol, you know, Lo Kiyem Bahem. And that was a form of economic justice as well. You know, maybe I'll just read one more line here, the Gemara. After all, the Egyptians had exploited the Jewish labor for many centuries. There's no real way to make reparations for that, but the Gemara says, Vayashulma Rabbami Blamit Shehishilum Baal Karacham. Yikadami bal karcham mitzrayim, yikadami bal karcham yisrael, man demar bal karcham mitzrayim dechsev. Avinavis based techalek shalal, man demar bal karcham yisrael, mishum masoy, they weren't so interested, we'll come back to that. Vayinasluetz mitzrayim, merbami blamit shasua kimitsuda shein badagan, reshlakishamar asua kimitsula shein badagan. They emptied it out. Okay. So there was economic justice involved in it as well. I don't think it was only a question of, you know, saving face, kaviyachol, with Avraham Avinu, you know, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu needed to be able to face him. But there was economic justice, I agree. The Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos, when he talks about the mitzvah of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, discusses the avel on the Hamas, the economic injustice that the Mitzrim perpetrated against the Jews, and eich lakach HaKadosh Baruch Hu nikmaso, nikmasenu mehem, part of that nikama, I think, is the Achrei Chen Yetzu Berchosh Gadol. But all of that being said, the mashmaos of Chazal here is that none of that was important. What was important was to get out with their lives. The mashal leben adam hachavosh b'beis asurim machar motzi neschem mibeis asurim, you know, v'nosim l'chamamun harbe, and the response is, who needs the money? A person who's being tortured doesn't think about kesef and zahav and smalos. A person has perspective. Part of Chag HaMatzos, part of Lechem Oni, part of the simplicity of Pesach is meant to allow us to recalibrate. Of course, there's nothing wrong with accumulation, as long as a person is following Dinei Tzedakah, number one, and as long as a person is living a life of Yatznei Alecha Sim Elokecha, of not doing anything ostentatious to stand out. We just talked about the Sugya of Yohara. So there's absolutely nothing wrong, and there is much that is positive about accumulation, Chayim Shel Osher V'Chavod. And yet, it presents certain challenges with respect to a loss of perspective, of losing sight of the proper distinction between luxury and necessity. There may be things that we want and legitimately want that are acceptable, but they're not essential. Food is essential, clothing is essential, shelter is essential, dignity is essential, health above all is essential. There are many things that are not. The Klei Chesef and the Klei Zav and the Smalos were perceived accurately by Klal Yisrael at that time as luxuries. It's interesting, just a short while later, after Kriyas Yamsuf, we know we have the tradition in Chazal that Gedola Bizas Hayam Mibizas Mitzrayim Vayasem Moshe Yisrael Miyamsuf, that he had to literally force them because at that point they were, you know, in just the span of a week, going from Balkarcham to Yisrael, that you had to force the Jews to take these things with them. They didn't value them. But a week later, their whole perspective had changed. It's frightening how quickly we lose sight of the distinction between necessity and luxury. I have, like I said, a very moderate view here. This isn't, and I have no patience for class warfare. As long as we maintain perspective about what's truly essential. Chag HaMatzos, the clarity and the simplicity of the matzah, right? Lechem Oni, it can't be, you know, matzah Ashira, which could be a separate ikuv than just chametz. Right? The Maral said there are two dinim. There's mitzvah matzah and the din lechem oni. You could have one without the other. Leaving aside the chashash chametz. This is a time of year for us to think a little bit about this question of luxury and necessity. Specifically because the lines, as I just demonstrated, get blurred so quickly. There was but a week between Bal Korcham de Yisrael, you had to force the Jews to take it out, you know, Daber na be'aznei ha'am, please, bevakasha mikem, if you won't mind carrying all this wealth. But a week later, Vayasa Moshe Yisrael miyam suf, right, you know, they had totally lost that perspective. In the relative sense, we all live with wealth that's unimaginable to previous generations. Now, of course, it doesn't mean that people don't have financial troubles. There's plenty of that to go around, given the costs in particular of a Torah life, which, you know, need to be addressed, but not for now. But you know, you can't read any page of Gemara without being struck by what did it mean, he'enu or he'eshiru in the context of Havdalah, they could afford one extra cup of grape juice. It's a completely different mitzvah for anybody. They didn't have 401ks. They didn't have, you know, simchas in the way that we have them. I'm not romanticizing it. That came along with many, 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 many spiritual limitations. When you're living a subsistence level existence or even slightly above that, it's very difficult to focus on, as the Rambam discusses extensively, Hillel can be mechayev the aniyim, but still, it's very challenging, and we're not glorifying that. But I'm just saying we have to be cognizant of where we are, and maintain a certain perspective. And I don't exclude myself, Chalila. My grandfather, Zichrono Livracha, grew up never having wine for Kiddush. They always were Mekadesh Arifta, black bread. Why? They would save up all year, because you can be Mekadesh Arifta, but by Pesach, you need to have Dalet Kosos. They would save up money all year so they could afford Dalet Kosos Shal Yayin. My grandfather was a Baruch Hashem, he was an excellent student. Never was able to finish his education because of the war, but he tutored, and he was always so proud to be able to bring his parents some extra. The currency in Latvia was the lot. He was so proud to be able to contribute it to, you know, the family till. There was no spending money at all. So my life is incomprehensible to that. And that means that, you know, I'm at risk of losing perspective between halavai and etzei b'atzmeinu, what's really essential, you know, and what's not. From a Kadosh Baruch Hu's perspective, of course it was essential because of the economic justice. How could he face Avraham Avinu and say, "Va'avad Avinu osam kimem v'achrichen yetsu b'rchosh gadol lokim behem"? He had to be nokem nikmas Yisrael me'es hamitzrim, not just begufam but me'mamonim as well. But we need to maintain a little bit of clarity for ourselves as to. And legitimately, it's a wonderful thing in general that we're not living like my grandfather grew up. I don't romanticize that, as I say, for a second. And yet, we also have to be aware, me'idach, of the limitations. And the limitations have a lot to do with, you know, what we begin to perceive of as, you know, absolute, you know, necessities. And they're really not. Now, I think this is both objectively true, and no less also critical for, you know, our sense of well-being. My grandmother, Zichrona Livracha, was an enormous hashpa on me. And we would talk about this all the time. I was very fortunate that my grandmother lived to meet my children, not my youngest child, but I had a very big schus that my grandmother met my three older children. That's one of the great points of hoda'a in our life, that she met them, she knew them. And we talked a lot about parenting. She was a mother of 13, so she had plenty of experience and was, you know, an isha Tovas Seichel. She had a very clear vision of what parenting was, and I used to ask her a lot, really daily, to speak to her on my way to yeshiva here every single day until her p'tira a number of years ago. And I can think about different places in this building where we had many conversations about parenting, and we always would discuss this nekuda. The hainu, the more you give, the more you're taking, because you're depriving them of the ability to appreciate things. And you'll see for yourselves that that's true. That the simple joy that you can derive from a toy truck is lost when you get one every day. I'm giving an extreme example. And there is a special joy in the simple things in life. And it's a very hard balance to strike, especially if you don't want your child to socially be, you know, very, very, very much outside of a norm. And if there's a communal norm, it's very hard. And we have to work hard on communal norms to make sure that they reflect our values. But this is part of it, and it starts at a very young age. It goes so quickly. I obviously can't be mefarid because I have to protect the dignity of these people, but since October 7th, we've been very involved with certain families that lost fathers and husbands on October 7th. Al-Kiddush Hashem fought wars to save Rabbim. So we were through the shul, Kihila, taking care of them. I got a picture this week of, we sent something for Purim, Matanos Lavyonim. The Rambam specifies in that context, Almanos HaNisomim. And the family sent a picture back of the children holding relatively simple toys, certainly by American standards, with enormous smiles on their face. Because they just don't have things like that. So for us, we have to work very hard to maintain perspective. And this is one of the essential features of Chag HaMatzos, of Lechem Oni, not Chalila V'chas, the way that sometimes people, you know, they become very angry and it becomes class warfare, but to preserve a sense of perspective. What do we need? What do we want? Do we know the difference between the two? Or have we forgotten? And that if we sense that we're forgetting, then we need to take a step back. And Pesach is a very, very, very important time for that, about reminding ourselves, what do we need? What do we want? There's a difference. And then we can, you know, have a chayim shel osher v'chavod without compromising a healthy sense of perspective. The Gemara discusses. Okay, wish everybody a wonderful Shabbos. We'll pick it up there on Monday.